Why do I need to care about this race in Georgia? That's the real root of the whole thing. Hey, Sam Rogowski here, Sam Nation Talk Radio 790 KBC. There I am. I'm jumping right into it because all over the news, everybody in the political world is talking about this Ossoff handle race in Georgia. It's a little congressional district in Georgia. And you would think it was, you'd think it was a governorship of a major state. Think the money right now is up to $50 million or something insane like that. Ossoff is this young pajama boy, doesn't even live in the district. He's the best the Democrats were able to dig up. Now, he lives 3 miles out of the district, I think with his parents. So, and Karen Handel's the gal running against him. She's at least lives in the district. But as best as I can tell, has played this odd game of using Trump for his, for his support, but then distancing herself from him when necessary. And I'll tell you why this is a problem. Well, the race is important. It goes to why the race is important. It's important because the left wants to show that the tide is turned against the Trumpster. They want to show that there is a blue victory in red territory. And they want to use that as some sort of indicator that Trump is falling out of favor among Republicans, because that's the critical thing, right? Trump will never have support of Democrats. He's never going to win blue country. Never mind that he did just a few months ago. But the idea is that if he's losing Republicans, that is the death knell. And at that point, the long knives that are already out for Trump are going to come out even more. But here's my problem with it. The problem here is I had to think about this. Why am I not excited about this race? And I'm not excited about this race because, quite frankly, what difference does it make? I mean, it's not like the Republicans in Congress are really particularly helping. They're still part of the same problem. And I look at Handel as a candidate, and I see somebody who's very establishment Republican. So who is she going to be with? She's going to be with Ryan and all the other swamp creatures who are not really helping create, come about, help affect the change that we wanted. And that, if this is something that I am feeling thousands of miles away here in California, my gut is that other people, more local people, the actual voters that live in the district who are making the decision in this race, are probably feeling some of that as well. So this is the most expensive race in the history of congressional races. It wins the prize. And it's obviously not money being raised from the district. I mean, these are it's become this national race. I think it's 9-1 or something like that for Ossoff, at least. He's the Democrat guy. He's 9-1 outside money versus local money. And it's just the contributions are rolling in. All the big movie stars are in. So it's the usual cast of characters. I had a list here somewhere. Sam Waterston, George Takei, Alyssa Milano, Chelsea Handler. She can't shut up about it. So you got, it's the typical thing that the Democratic Party's doing. Star-studded, a bunch of socially concerned, out-of-town libs coming in hot and heavy, pumping up this little pajama boy guy. And this kid, I've seen him, total empty suit. Right? There's no resume. There's no nothing. He's just, by the way, is a part of a broader problem. Because you would think, now look, if you're the Democratic Party and you have just gotten your butt handed to you on a silver platter, you've lost the presidency, you've lost seats in the House and the Senate, you've lost governorships, you've lost more state legislatures than you can count. You're on a slip and slide headed to nowhere good on the Supreme Court. You've got problems. These are serious problems for the left. And you've got these races where you go, look, this is going to be Custer's last stand. We as a party, this is where we face the Trump and we win. So I'm just mystified at the shallowness, really, of this candidate. The whole celebrity culture of it. He was challenged on this just the other day on MSNBC. Nicole Wallace. Now, Wallace is she's an establishment Republican type, a pretty anti-Trump GOPer. But she basically challenges Ossoff. She goes, "Now, look, I understand you want to win. But what do you think really that bringing Samuel Jackson and all these celebrities into your district? I mean, aren't you recognizing, don't you see that maybe Hillary Clinton tried to do some of this too with Jay-Z and Beyonce and it didn't work? It just failed for her. Do you not maybe see that that was a bit of a problem?" And listen to his answer.
"I don't honestly think voters care which figures from Washington, whether it's the vice president or the speaker, or whether it's celebrities. Well, the campaign is focused on the issues of concern to voters here in the 6th District, and whether it's politicians from Washington or from celebrities across the country, that's not what animates people here in Georgia. What keeps people focused here in Georgia."
"I don't disagree with you, sir, but if it's not what animates people in Georgia, why associate your campaign with something that is sort of, we know that it failed for Hillary Clinton. Why not learn one of the lessons of her failed candidacy and ask celebrities to stay away from your race?"
And this shows two problems here. One, you see what he does immediately, tacks over and saying, "Hey, well, you know, I'm celebrities. It doesn't matter which figures, you know, you bring into a race. It doesn't matter. It could be my celebrities, or it could be the vice president, or the speaker, okay, or celebrity." So he's equivocating, right? He's likening Vice President Pence, President Trump, and other people who have in some way shown their support for Handel to the celebrities that he's bringing in. This is the best they have. I mean, the best they have are celebrities, are drudging up people from Hollywood who don't give a rat's rear end about. If you live in Georgia, if you live in the 6th Congressional District, I promise you that Chelsea Handler does not give a rat's rear end about you. I guarantee it. She probably thinks you guys are all hicks. But this is an important race for her, at least in her warped mind. Other of these celebrity types as well, because it's all about this perturbed view that they've got to stop Trump. And at the end of the day, this is why it's a problem. Trump has to get, he's got to get some legislative support behind him. It's critical. What he's doing, and you've got an economy that is actually lifting itself up, getting ready to take off. You've added, what is it? By last count, about $3 billion in wealth. More than that. Three was a trillion. I've got the numbers wrong. $1 trillion in wealth added in just the stock market alone. Just in the anticipation that the pro-business, pro-growth of Trump's agenda will happen, that it's going to come about. And now Congress can't even figure out when it's going to. When it can't even schedule a vote to determine when they're going to have tax reform, or when they're going to fix Obamacare, or when they're going to tackle immigration. And there's only so much that can be done by executive order, by the power of the pen. And so I'm telling you, if you want my read on all of this, Republican voters will sour on these races that are being nationalized because they want to see what they voted for happen. Trust me, most Republicans that are deciding whether or not to vote in a Georgia congressional election want to see America be great again. They want to see tax reform. They want to see health care reform. They want to see pro-growth, pro-business agenda happening. They may not love everything about Trump, but they look at what's happening in Washington, D.C. They see Congress sitting on its hands, agonizing about all this nonsense about Russia and about special investigators. And they're looking at this going, you guys are paralyzed and you're stopping my life from getting better. And this is where Republicans will begin to lose elections. And I think that the House and Senate leadership, I think that these establishment country club Republicans are perfectly okay with it. They would rather lose a few seats, maybe even lose their majorities for a period of time, if it means getting rid of Trump. Because Trump presents a greater challenge to their authority and to their power base and to their way of doing business. It's a real existential threat to these establishment Republicans. I'm not even talking about the Democrats. It is, of course, to them as well. So this race, I can't tell you how it's going to go. But I would not be surprised if the Republican vote is in some way depressed by the fact that they just Republicans in the district are just going to say, well, whatever. What does it matter? There have to be voters there that feel indifferently. And it's a shame. The real issue here in all of this is just the pure and total resistance to Trump at all costs. And it's becoming silly. It is becoming silly. I remember 8 years ago, Obama was president. Many people were not fans. And we were all told to do what? We were all told to, for the good of the country, get behind him and support him. Now, there were a few audacious conservatives who stood up and said, well, I'm not going to support the president. I don't want to support his agenda. And those people, I remember this vividly. Those people were shouted down. They were booed. They were told how obstructionist they were. And you had to, I mean, back then, 8 years ago, you had to get in line and you just said, hey, got to go with what Obama's doing. He's our president. And wait, if you're against Obama, you're against this country. And it wasn't anything, by the way. I'm just talking about people saying the words, I don't support him. But we're beyond mere words. This entire investigation of Trump is such total, utter nonsense. It's total crap. You cannot look at what is going on here and say, oh, I got it. Okay, obstruction of justice. And then, at the same time, overlook what, I mean, it's unbelievable. Loretta Lynch meeting with President Clinton, former President Clinton, at a time when his wife was the subject of a high-profile investigation by Lynch's own Department of Justice. And now revelations that Comey and Lynch conferred and agreed, conspired even, to change the way that the investigation into Hillary Clinton was portrayed so as to give her an advantage during a political campaign. If either of these two things had come out about Trump, Unbelievable. Game over, right? And yet, with no hard facts, no evidence, the smoldering thing, this stink just continues. And it's not because there's anything there, but it's because, I promise you, all the people in this, from the Democrats to the Republicans in Congress, they there are many of them, want to see this proceed and to cripple the president. It's just plain terrible. And I'll tell you when we come back. I want to get into this because there's some great cautionary tales from history. I promise you that. All right, Sam Rogowski, back right after this.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Talk Radio 790 KBC. All right. So this Ossoff race, John Ossoff versus Karen Handel in Georgia. Why are we talking about a race in Georgia? Why does it matter? Part of this is, of course, media hype. That's historically what drives a lot of this stuff. And it's not just Trump hate. It's not just that. There has to be an ever-present battle in the world of cable news because it gives all the talking heads something to opine over. The other thing here is that it does come down to votes. I mean, every congressman that is on the D side versus the R side potentially can stall Trump's agenda. And the Democrats want more votes. That's plain and simple. And so their mainstream media cohorts out there are pushing this race because, you know, it's very important to them. They want another vote. And when it comes to, I don't know, stopping the undoing of the Affordable Care, Health Care Act, and it comes to stopping a border wall, and it comes to stopping tax reform and all the things that Trump wants to do, an extra vote on the D side is good. But interesting here is just how completely everyone's glossed over, certainly on the left. This guy has got no experience, 30 years old. Just came. They couldn't even find a Democrat who lives in the district. Think about this. The election's going to happen tomorrow. Ossoff won't be able to vote for himself. I'm just throwing that out there. Now, apparently, they've got rules where this is okay. I mean, he doesn't have to live in the district, but this is an important part of federalism. I mean, this is why we typically, and many states do, have the rule and require that the elected representative live where, in the area that they represent. This reminds me of, by the way, Maxine Waters. I've seen pictures of her house. She lives in Hancock Park. Did you know this? It's got a beautiful, sweet pad in Hancock Park. And you know, of course, she represents all the good folks in Inglewood. You know. So this is not necessarily an unusual thing, but it's frowned upon, generally speaking. I think it's all about what will Congress do to work and to make Trump's agenda happen. We're so lost right now in these wild accusations of conspiracy, of obstruction of justice, of Trump being this orange buffoon. And you're forgetting, and I always say this, the smart people who are moving around trillions of dollars like what Trump is saying and like what he's doing. They like his appointments. They like his pronouncements. And we went from an era where Obama said, "You didn't build that," to an era where Trump says, "Make America great again." And I'm telling you, there is an actual reaction to the words of Donald Trump. And for all of you so focused on the tweets and on the zingers and all the little silly stuff that Trump says, remember, there are people that really do smart people that are looking at the substance of what he's saying, saying, yeah, we like this. This is going to be good. Now, if only it can happen. And the reason I know that is the stock market goes up when Trump talks. And it goes down at every indication that Congress isn't going to move in time. It's this inaction that will end up doing the greatest harm to our country. Now, I know you Democrats don't want to see the Obama legacy undone. But the only problem with that is the Obama legacy put our economy in the toilet. And all the numbers, before you start foaming at the mouth about all the numbers were fake. Look, the books were cooked, and any of us who lived in the real world of business and saw what was out there knew this. Unemployment. I mean, totally unreported numbers. This is what it comes down to. And you're never going to get Republicans. You're never going to get your voters excited to vote in your elections if you do not move this agenda forward. Plain and simple. All right, John Wolf up next with the news. Don't go anywhere.
Talk Radio. Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Welcome back, Sam Rujofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC, live as always from Orange County, deep behind the famous Orange Curtain. And 800-222-5222 is the number here if you'd like to reach me, or my email, sam@samnation.com. I do check that, and I will be checking it here periodically through the show. I just got a notice here to have a look. Speaking of email, to have a look that on Twitter, I got to look this up. Is this so? This John Ossoff, this Democrat that's running in Georgia. Where is this? Let me look this up. Apparently, you're right. Oh my gosh, you're right. He is. He's wearing an apron in his profile picture. I don't know. Gosh. I don't know. I guess that's how you do these things now. He's very woke. Is that the right term? You know who else is going to stage a comeback? At least according to Reason.com. When we talk about the bench of talent in the Democratic Party, what's good for Georgia's 6th congressional district is also good for apparently the entire country. Because the best they could find is a 30-year-old who lives at home with his parents, not in the district that he's running in. That's the best they could do for their big matchup to steal the district away from the Republicans. But on the national stage, do you know that there are Democrats that are seriously, legitimately, still talking about Hillary Clinton running in 2020? If I was the Democratic Party right now, I would be begging this woman to take a long walk off a short pier. It's metaphorical, okay? It's metaphorical. I'm not actually advocating that. But she needs to retire. And yet, when you think about it, who comes to mind as the obvious standard bearer? Who comes to mind as the person who's going to come along and take the lead and become not Maxine Waters. That's right. Not her. In 2016, in that election, how many Republicans stepped forward to run? I know some of them were jokes, but you know, what was it? 16? How many Democrats did? 3. You got to think about this. You know, for as much as our primary was derided and made fun of, I would say that the Republicans offered up enough choices from which the voters selected one winner who ended up, as it so turns, winning the race. You got to have some choices. And the reason I hate to be the guy that blames Obama, but the reason for this is Obama. Obama took the party from what it was, an ideas-based ideological party, which I may disagree with, but you know, but he, you know, certainly was a place where you had, you know, candidates rising up from the grassroots. And he decided, and this is Axelrod and all of Obama's people, turned it into a party that was based on numbers, that was based on voter turnout, figuring out which minority groups to speak to and energize and get them to the polls. It was a difference between running, and I hate to do a sports analogy because I'll probably butcher it, but it's the difference between running an honest-to-goodness baseball team and Moneyball. The Democrats under Obama ran Moneyball. It was all about the stats, the figures, and apps and algorithms. And then along came Trump, and he spoke to people. And these guys are all still scratching their heads, no idea how, why, or what happened. There are long wilderness years ahead for the Democratic Party, no question about that. All right. Don't go anywhere. I've got some funny Supreme Court news. I want to get to that next. Talk to you then.
Talk Radio 790.
KABC.
Sam Rojofsky here. So, what do you do if you get into a car accident? Well, step number one is you do not talk to the other person's insurance company. This is such a bad idea, and you know this because I talk to you about this all the time. It's a natural human instinct. We want to be nice, so we want to be forthcoming, and we think if we follow the golden rule that we will get back the goodness that we put out there. Anything but that is true when dealing with an insurance company. Keep your cards close to your vest, so to speak. Give your attorney a phone call and make sure the attorney that you have on speed dial is good. How's that for an idea? You want to know a good lawyer? I know one. His name is Sweet James Bergner. We love him here on the program. We trust him. And we know, I know, I can tell you this. He will take care of you. He'll make sure that you get through your case. That everything's taken care of. And again, most of these cases don't even require a lawsuit. He can take care of everything calmly, professionally, and without the need of any big-time litigation just by making sure that your rights are preserved, okay? But main thing is, you don't call anybody. How do you reach him? Easy. 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit his website, sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Nation, back here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Hey, have you been following this Megyn Kelly debacle? This fascinates me, but not necessarily for the headline that has been out there. You know, she did some months ago, must have gone and interviewed Alex Jones, who's the kind of conservative rabble rouser nut job over at InfoWars. And the story that everybody's all up in arms about is that he, you know, she would interview him about the Sandy Hook massacre. And of course, this is I didn't even realize all this stuff. I don't follow InfoWars. I'm not too familiar with it. So apparently Jones is a big conspiracy theorist. And one of his great horrible conspiracy ideas is that Sandy Hook was all a setup and a fake and it didn't happen. Well, I don't know. That's apparently. And so Megyn Kelly's going to go out and she's going to interview him, right? And now she quit Fox, made a spectacular splash, stabbed Roger Ailes in the back. Some nonsense claim about sexual harassment, her allegations flimsy. She ends up getting this enormous package, lots and lots of dough from NBC. And in this time period that she's waiting to get her main nightly show, she's doing this, Sunday piece. It's kind of this TV journalism, we'll call it. Well, Alex Jones, being the guy that he is, he agrees to do the interview, but he knows that it's Megyn Kelly. He knows it's NBC News. And so he decides to surreptitiously record everything that happens. Well, not just the interview, not just the interview itself, also phone calls that he has with Megyn Kelly leading up to the interview. And that's the part of it that is so interesting to me as a media observer. You know, what do you think? You think that she went into this wanting to give him a fair shake in any way, shape, or form? No. No, of course not. I mean, she went into it looking for an expose piece. And Jones, by the way, gives her plenty of stuff to work with. I'm not disputing that. But if you ever wonder how it is that journalists, whatever you want to call them, are able to get people with whom they totally disagree, who have totally different ideas than them, how they get them to talk on camera. You ever watch a disastrous interview with someone and think to yourself, by God, what was subject of the interview? What was he thinking going on with her? Doesn't he know what's going to happen? Well, courtesy of Jones, we got a little taste of that. Hang in there. I got to run. When we come back, I'm going to play for you some audio of Megyn Kelly, and you're going to figure out exactly why some people are dumb enough to go on with these mainstream media types. All right, stay tuned. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, back after this.
Talk Radio 790.
KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. That, ladies and gentlemen, are the Slants, the band that just won at the Supreme Court. They wanted to have their name registered by the Patent Trademark Office, but because the Patent Trademark Office had a rule against filing any disparaging or offensive trademarks, they couldn't get registered. And so they took their fight up all the way to the Supreme Court and won. Also today, the Supreme Court decided that sex offenders can use Facebook and other forms of social media. As terrible as it sounds, it's a win for free speech. I think it's a great thing. All right, talking about Megyn Kelly. I was asking you, why would you think people like, I don't know, why do you think that somebody who gets massacred on one of these interviews willingly sits down for the profile? And the reason for that is these stars that you see on TV, the Megyn Kelly types, they are very good at buttering up their targets. So here, Alex Jones, the subject of her piece last night that aired on NBC, he apparently was smelling a little bit of a setup, and so he being the kook that he is, he recorded everything. And in Texas, you're allowed to do this. You can record phone conversations and the like without permission. So he's within his legal rights to do it, records her. And this is just a short little exchange that they have over the phone. This is pre-interview. This is setup time. Pre-interview is him saying, kind of talking about what she wants to do, and then her reassuring him. Have a listen to this.
Yeah, so this is like a reboot, relaunch for you, that you're not the, you know, right-wing or left-wing pundit from Fox. You're an investigative journalist that does magazine, you know, investigations.
Exactly. So it's like an entirely different set of muscles. And trust me when I tell you, my goal is not to go out there and be like, oh my God, if I sit with her, she's going to kill me. But of course, I'm going to do a fair interview. I'm still me. You know, I'm not going to go out there and be Barbara Walters.
Well, I don't have time to play the clips from it. I saw it. I recorded it. I watched it. She butchered him. She massacred him. But it wasn't very good either. I mean, it was just, the whole thing was really flimsy. But the reason he recorded the entire show is he's now gonna, now that the Hearst show has aired, NBC has aired the segment. You know, there's something like 4 hours of recording that they do, and they slim it down into about 15 minutes. So you bet your bottom dollar it's selectively edited to make the subject of the interview look like a complete dolt. Although in Alex Jones' case, I'm not sure it requires a lot of extra effort. But the point is it'll be interesting. I mean, if he does a good job, if he's been set up, he can take his uninterrupted interview and show how his words have been cut up and misconstrued, if that's really the case. But it is interesting to hear Megyn Kelly talk about herself, mention Barbara Walters. I think that's kind of what she's setting herself up for. And that's a long shot, folks. That's not... I think the interview was terrible. It was just totally out of her depth. All right, we're out of time. Happy Monday. Back tomorrow, 7 p.m. See you then.
Talk Radio 790.
KABC.